today on Real Radio.
Imagine God speaking to you and saying to you, oh, isn't it great the peace you have? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. It's wonderful. Thank you, God. And he says, you know why? Because I bless obedience. God loves obedience. He loves it, especially when it's coming from the heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Knows, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also to point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. And you know, some of his prophecies extend far into the future when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 48, we saw that everything in this chapter is about future events, far ahead of Isaiah's time. God knows the future, so he knows the condition of our hearts. Israel tried to blame their bad behavior on their carved idols, but God, in his incredible mercy, restrains his anger toward us because he put the blame on someone else, his son Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our offenses and who took our place on the cross for our sins. So today on day 2 of chapter 48, Pastor Jack tells us that God is always there for us, even in the hard times. He even knows what we need in advance. The Lord wants to extend his grace towards us if we just open our hearts to receive his answers to our most difficult questions. And now continuing his lesson called God Knows, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so he says, come to me and hear this. Have I not spoken in secret from the beginning? I've not spoken in secret. I'm not hiding. From the time that I was there, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. This is a tremendous declaration of deity, but watch what's going on. And I'm going to want you to take notes. Everybody take notes. This is right now what you're going to want to write this down. This is a declaration of deity. You say, well, who cares? You're going to care in a moment. This is a little bit of a theological miracle, what you're about to see, and you need to appreciate it, church. It's right here in this verse, in verse 16. Notice God says, come near to me. God says that. In your notes, in the margins of your Bible, write this down, Matthew 11, 28. Watch this, 11, 28. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See the correlation? God says, come. Jesus says, come. Look at verse 16. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret. John 18, 20. Jesus answered him and said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. You see the correlation? This is the one who is the I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, right? Remember that from last week? This is none other than Christ himself speaking. Look at verse 16 again. From the beginning, from the time that it was, I was there. That's a statement of eternity, eternalness of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Is that awesome? I love that. This is deity. Did you like that? I hope you like that. Well, there's one more that you can ooh and ah about. Verse 16 says, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Who's the me? The Hebrew demands that whoever the me is the first and the last of verse 12. You got that? Okay, listen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." You ought to be circling. God, son, watch. "And shall call his name Jesus." You ought to circle that. "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest." You ought to circle that. "And the Lord God," you ought to circle that, "will give him," you should circle that, "the throne of David." You ought to circle David. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." You ought to circle Jacob. Sounds like we're reading Isaiah. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." It's eternal. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit." You ought to circle that. Do you see the connection with Isaiah? Do you like that?
Yes.
The old is in the new revealed.
Amen.
The Old Testament is revealed in the new. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you in the power of the highest." Circle the highest. It's a declaration of deity. "Will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born," circle Holy One, "will be called the Son of God." Circle that. In that Christmas announcement is packed, deity in pact with the Trinity. You can't get away from it. You can't deny it. And this is the God of Isaiah 48. Absolutely awesome. Verse 17, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who," watch, "teaches you to profit," who, again, "leads you by the way you should go." Listen to him. "Oh, that you had heeded my instruction. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." What a tragic statement. "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments." The lamentation of God. Today, I was looking at that old hymn by that former slave trader and drunk, John Newton. John Newton, the slave trader drunk who came to Christ, wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace. You love that song, don't you? And in one of those lyrics of that great song, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home," wrote John Newton. God says, "Listen, I wanted to extend to you my grace. I wanted to bless your life, but you wouldn't heed my commandments." This is the lamentation of God the parent. He's weeping over Israel's rebellion. We all know this to be true. As we mentioned last week, touched on it, any of us who have loved a friend or a child or whatever, that parental care we extend. I remember having teachers, a few, you only get a few teachers like this, but I remember a couple of teachers growing up when I was very, very young who really loved us. I stuttered really severely all my life growing up, and it wasn't until I was about 23 years of age when God touched me in an instant, but I stuttered profusely. And I remember one teacher, she would have me stand up on the desk and read to the class while they all laughed and busted up laughing, and she thought it was great. And I hated her. I mean, I hated her. I hated every. I tell you, rejection, I don't know if you know what that's like. You listen, people talk about bullying today. I got to tell you, I was bullied beyond. It was in the book Lisa and I wrote for David C. Cook Publishers, in that book. And one of the things I wrote about bullying that took place in my life, I don't think I should repeat it publicly like this, but you can read about it in the book. The publisher said, "I don't think you should include that in the book. That is just too nasty." And I said, "No, you're going to include that in the book, or I don't have anything to write about, because I'm grateful for being bullied when I was a kid, because now today I don't care what anybody says about anything." Yeah, does that make sense to you? I survived. And listen, bullying's never going to stop. As long as there's a human heart, there's going to be bullying. So listen, we need to prepare our kids to deal with adversity. You know that? We need to teach our kids, this is what you do when somebody makes fun of you. Because I had that all my life until I was about 23 years of age. But I got to tell you, before I was a Christian, the way I dealt with being rejected was just beating up people. I started beating people up when I was about 8 years old. And that was my only way. I couldn't talk. I couldn't protect myself. So I just started beating people up. And that's a sad thing, but that's a reality. Let me tell you something. In Christ, Jesus takes hold of those things and converts them into great victory steps. So you may be here tonight saying, oh no, my life's a mess. Hey, listen, take the mess and give it to Jesus. Watch what he does with it. He takes all the stuff that would condemn us in the world and he repackages it and makes it a strength to us. And God says, if you just listen to me, I was a knucklehead. I came to Christ at the age of 19. I wish I would have come to Christ earlier. I should have listened to people sooner. And maybe you're here tonight and people have been telling you stuff. Oh, you ought not to do that, or you should do this. And they're showing you scripture and word and love. You ought to listen to them. If they love you, you ought to listen to them. Would to God we had more people speaking into young people's lives today. America's youth needs parents. They need a mom and a dad to instruct them and love on them and teach them and instill into their lives. We need to take care. God says, I wish you would have listened. God, listen. God, people will say, oh, it's thou shalt not and thou shalt not. Oh, listen, you're focusing on the wrong part of the Bible if you think it's all thou shalt nots. God's, how about this? Thou shalt not commit murder because it ain't going to go well for you if you do. God's not saying to you, you know, thou shalt not so you have a rotten, miserable life. God is saying, don't play marbles on the freeway. You're going to get hurt. It's only a rebellious spirit that says, don't tell me what to do, right? And God says, oh, if you would have just heeded my announcements and my commandments and my instruction, I love you. But, you know, we kick against them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Leave the verse on the screen. I want to interrupt myself for a minute. Perilous times? The word perilous here in the Greek is a word to plane. You know the old contractor's plane where you plane the wood down with that blade? That's the word. The Bible says, listen, skeptic in the house. I don't know if the Bible's true. Well, chew on this for a moment. The Bible says in the last days, evil is going to be so prevalent that it's going to wear on people. Just like the way a contractor planes down wood. He can take a beam and make it into a toothpick. That's Satan's plan for your life, to take you who've been created in the image of God and take evil and just peel off your skin one cell at a time until there's nothing left of you but a hollowed out core of a human. That's Satan's plan for your life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. But he announced that the enemy, the devil, has come to rob you, to kill you, and to destroy you. And how do you think he does it? He doesn't show up and say, I'm Satan. I'm gonna kill you right here, right now. He doesn't do that. He shows up. He shows up in a way that is very seductive or very enticing. And I don't mean in a lewd way. I mean, that's possible. But Satan may come to you with his plan and he uses somebody to say, hey, I got a great business deal for you. It's really spectacular. You know what? In 3 months, you're going to be a millionaire. And listen, and this happens all the time to people. They, ching, ching. The Christian sees dollar signs, gets involved with some wolf, winds up losing everything. They robs them blind. And then the person comes crying to the church and says, how could God do this to me? God didn't do it to you. You saw dollar signs, you disobeyed God, and you ran down the path chasing the golden donut, or what is it? Golden carrot or carrot gold, that golden apple, the rubber duck, whatever it is. I don't know. This happens all the time. God wants to speak, and listen, we're living in perilous times, dangerous times. God has instructed us back to 2 Timothy 3:2, for men will be lovers of themselves. In other words, whatever I want, I'm going to take it from you because I love myself more than anything else. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Wow. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is always a shocker to me. Having a form of godliness on the outside. They have a Bible. They might even have a cross around their neck. Their car is saved. There's a Christian sticker on their car window. They have a form of godliness. They have the external trappings of religion. This is what the Bible says. Is this not incredibly accurate? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And from such people, turn away. You know anybody like this? The Bible says don't even eat with them. Cut them off. See, that's not loving. Of course it is loving. Absolutely loving. You love God most. God says, obey me. Listen, don't let your emotions make this decision, because you're going to go down a path and you're going to crash. And then God's going to say to you, oh, I wish you had heeded my commands. I wish you'd have listened. Watch out. Be wise. Verse 18, that you had heeded my commands. Look at this. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Is that beautiful? Wow. This word river, of course, is a deep flowing river. You know how a river is deep when it looks like it's hardly moving. That's a deep river. And look, you guys, the next time, if we ever get a storm again, go down to the beach. Go down to the Wedge down in Newport. And I encourage, I'm not kidding. This is one of my hobbies to do. Go down to the peninsula when there's a big storm. This is a spiritual lesson. It's a spiritual field trip. I'm not kidding. Go down there, park your car. You'll get out of your car, and if it's a good storm, you can't even see the water yet. You're just parking. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you've been there, the ground starts to rumble. It feels like a little earthquake. And you start hearing the ground pounding, and as you get closer, you can't even see the waves yet. You start walking out on the sound, and the ground, the sand's vibrating as those waves are hitting the Wedge. And why do I tell you this? You cannot stand there without feeling extremely intimidated and insignificant. You can't stand there in the face of those waves without thinking about the righteousness of God. It's like lightning and thunder. When you see such displays, it's like, wow. And God says, I wanted your righteousness to be like that of the waves of the sea. That's what God wants in your life. People who are walking with God and have that standard of righteousness, meaning that they live right before God, they're bold. They have confidence. They don't fear. They're not anxious. They have peace. They have the joy of the Lord because they know He is with them. They've not grieved Him. It's an awesome way to live. If tonight that sounds attractive to you, taste and see, and you'll see that the Lord is good. Step out and let that confidence be yours. And it is just fantastic. Imagine God speaking to you and saying to you, oh, isn't it great the peace you have? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. It's wonderful. Thank you, God. And He says, you know why? Because I bless obedience. God loves obedience. He loves it. Especially when it's coming from the heart. God, I know that if I obey you, what you want from me is good. So I'm going to obey you because it's right for me to do that. You're God, I'm not. And you, I trust because you're telling me the right way to go. Amen. What an amazing God we have. I said it last week. I want to repeat it in case you missed it. Every time we have followed our own instructions and denied His instructions, we've gotten into trouble. Your peace would have been like a river. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah 48, very messianic chapter 48. Does this sound familiar? If you would have listened, your peace would have been like a river. If it does, Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 37. Then, as He, Jesus, was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, this is Palm Sunday, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, which you'd love to have seen this, called to Jesus from the crowd, saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I wish Jesus would have just said, "And to show you what I mean, shh, guys, be quiet, listen." And the rocks would have been, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." J. Vernon McGee said it would have been the first true rock concert. These stones would cry out, he said, verse 41, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city," that is Jerusalem, "and wept over it." And listen to what he said, verse 42. "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your," what's the word? "Peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes." Sound familiar? Sound like Isaiah? It's amazing. Verse 19 goes on. "Your descendants also would have been like the sand." Boy. "And the offspring of your body like the grains of sand." How many Jews were slaughtered just under Hitler's tyranny? 6 million? 1 million homosexuals Hitler killed? 6 million Jews? 6 million Christians? And that's terrible, no doubt about it. Specifically, regarding the Jewish people, God said here, if you would have obeyed me, you would have had offspring, they would have covered the globe. Israel has gone from one Holocaust to another because of disobedience to God. He didn't cause it, they caused it. In other words, God says, I'll hold the umbrella, stay near me, come to me. Listen, come to me, be near me. I'm holding the umbrella. And they refused. They ran out into the wilderness. Don't do that. Disobedience always, always leads to pain and sorrow and regret. Disobedience never, never turns out well for the offender.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Knows Part 2. We're glad you took the time to join us today. And if God knows all, then he knows what you're going through. Give your all to him, and he'll be faithful to get you where you need to be. God Knows Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, some people might think it's a bad thing that God knows all and sees all. Maybe you've been going down the wrong path, or you feel like you have to earn your way into God's heart. Or maybe you think that the poor choices you've made in life, well, they've gone far beyond God's ability to forgive. Well, here's some really comforting news. God knows you, he does. But the awesome thing is how much he still loves you. He even wants to have a personal relationship with you. So if you want to know more of what that's all about, we're here to help. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. That's the Know God tab, K-N-O-W. Now, once you're there, you'll find the information you need to make a decision for Christ and a guide to share your faith with others. Now, here's what you can do for us. Let us know about your decision to follow Christ, or maybe you've got further questions. We're more than happy to help you with those. You can call us 877-777-2346 or email us at mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Again, that's 877-777-2346 or email us, here's the address, mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, have you missed any episodes? You can catch up with past episodes or just ones you've missed with the Real Life app. Check your app store for the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.